The Old Testament reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading, the epistle, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 5, 21 to 37. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, in our Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy, Bob read these remarkable words. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your children may live. That's a powerful statement. The contrast is stark. Life or death? So who wouldn't choose life? You know, there's a recently produced documentary film that's becoming infamous among football fans right now about a former player for the New England Patriots named Aaron Hernandez. He grew up in Connecticut and went to the University of Florida on a football scholarship, playing for the legendary coach Urban Meyer, along with Heisman Trophy winner and outspoken Christian Tim Tebow. In the documentary, Urban Meyer recalls Hernandez participating in Bible studies at the Meyer home. When he was drafted by the New England Patriots in 2010 and made the team at age 20, Aaron Hernandez was the youngest player in the NFL. Nonetheless, he quickly became a star, and within 3 years was offered a $40 million contract, which he accepted and signed. The reason this documentary was made, however, was not because of Hernandez's spectacular success. It was because of his breathtaking failures in light of that success. Hernandez didn't play long under his new contract. Instead, he was arrested, indicted for murder, and later convicted. In 2017, Aaron Hernandez committed suicide in a federal penitentiary. He'd lost not only his wealth and gridiron glory, but also a daughter he loved dearly. The complete story is complicated, like real life. But my point is that set before him was life and brilliant blessing. And yet his choices led to death. Most of our stories are not nearly as dramatic, but all of us have made unfortunate choices. How do you cope with the unfortunate choices you've made, or the unfortunate choices others have made? Your children, for example, or maybe the unfortunate choices your parents made. How do you cope? In our Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy 30, Moses stood before the people of Israel, offering them two alternatives as they finally were about to enter the promised land after 40 years of wandering around the desert. The alternatives were avoid idolatry, worshiping the gods of the Moabites and Ammonites and Philistines, the people the Israelites would encounter upon entering the Promised Land, remain faithful to the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and therefore enjoy blessings and life. Or worship idols and die. Those were the two choices. And this is interesting. Moses wasn't talking to the generation of adults he'd led out of Egypt. That generation had died. They weren't allowed into the promised land due to their own rebellion and faithlessness. The younger generation had to wait until their elders were dead. You can read about that in Numbers 13. So Moses, at age 120, was speaking to those who were under the age of 20 or not yet born when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea 40 years earlier. Their parents had made lousy choices. But this generation was bound and determined not to repeat the sins of their fathers and mothers. They would trust in God, they told themselves. And they did, for a while, for a little while. Really not long at all. After entering the promised land, disobedience toward God became almost immediately apparent, and it got worse and worse as the years rolled on. Eventually, the nation split into two factions, and 6 centuries after the Israelites entered the promised land, Israel completely collapsed, and the Assyrians occupied their land, and then later the Babylonians. And the Israelites were led into exile. And never again was Israel truly independent and strong. So in a sense, the promised land was only temporary because the people couldn't keep God's law. Never could. Finally, someone else came and kept God's law. The long-awaited Messiah, who led the people into the ultimate promised land, which is life everlasting. You know, this idea that people can't keep the law, that we are incapable of choosing to keep the law and actually following through on it, that idea, despite all the evidence, is surprisingly controversial. It was even among the disciples. In Mark 10, Jesus was approached by a wealthy young man who asked him what he could do to ensure that he'd go to heaven. Jesus asked him if he knew and kept the Ten Commandments. The young man replied, "Teacher, I've kept them all since my youth." Jesus looked at him with compassion and said, "Then there's only one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me." Hearing that, the young man turned and walked away disheartened. The disciples of Jesus were shocked. If this man wasn't good enough, then who can be saved? So what's the point Jesus was trying to make? Was he challenging the young man? Was he telling him to man up, try harder, and dig deeper? I've heard this incident presented that way. But that misses the point entirely. Jesus was telling us, if you're going to earn your way into heaven by keeping the law, if that's what you intend, get serious. Love your neighbor as yourself. The question is, can you actually pull that off? We know the rich young man couldn't do it. Can you? Can any of us choose to keep the law and then actually keep it? Take a look at our gospel lesson. We talked a little about this last week, and this is daunting. You've heard it said, "Do not murder," but I tell you, anyone who's angry with his brother is liable to the same judgment. You've heard it said, "Do not commit adultery," but I tell you, anyone who looks to lust is guilty of adultery. How you doing there? Jesus addresses divorce in our gospel lesson. We have plenty of people who are divorced here. Read it. What do you think? This is pretty harsh. And it doesn't stop with divorce. There's something for everybody. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Would anyone actually choose to do that? No. So what's the point? The point is you're helpless and you need a savior. You can't do what the law requires. You don't choose life consistently. You're compromised by sin. All of us are. Yet God in his mercy intervenes and does for you what you cannot do yourself. Christ does it for you. He redeems you. He pulls you out of the pit and loves you no matter what. God demands that you choose life rather than death, that you choose Him over any other God. And we all fail. That's why in John 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God demands that you keep His law, but you can't. So Jesus kept it for you and credits to you His own righteousness. So we're justified by His blood, not by our remarkably inconsistent and self-centered behavior. Read Romans 5. God demands that you have faith, but you're helpless to conjure up faith on your own. So the Holy Spirit conveys faith to you as a gift through His Word and through His body and blood. Read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and John 6. God demands your repentance, a change in your thinking, but your repentance is inadequate. It's self-serving and insincere. So Jesus repents for you. Read Matthew 3, verses 13 and 14. Jesus demands be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You fall dismally short. So Jesus is perfect for you. He covers up your failure, wrapping you in His perfect gleaming white robes of righteousness. Read Isaiah 61:10. And someday you will die. And so Jesus died for you, shedding His blood on a Roman cross, paying the penalty for your sin. Completing the task, He uttered, "It is finished," so you can have confidence that you will live forever, reunited with those whom you love in heaven, where God wipes the tears from every face. Read Revelation 21:4. Read the beginning of Romans 6. What God demands from you, He gives to you, so you can be at rest. You can be at complete peace, knowing that He forgives you, loves you, and will always take care of you. Always. Always. No matter what. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great love for us. And we ask that as we read the difficult words of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, that You would cause us to understand the message here and cause us in understanding it to be filled with gratitude toward You and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.